This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, November 18th, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. GOEA dodges probation. Feds race to wrap up CVP plan and cabinet nominee's name, but no ag secretary picked yet. Grimoway Farms recalls carrots during E. coli outbreak investigation. On Saturday, Grimoway Farms initiated a voluntary recall of bagged organic whole and baby carrots. That as the Food and Drug Administration, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and local authorities investigate an interstate E. coli outbreak. To date, there are 39 cases, 15 hospitalizations, and one death, with the last known case occurring on October 28th. One of the 27 infected people state and local officials have interviewed on what they consume prior to getting sick. 26 reported eating carrots. The FDA then identified Grimoway as the common supplier. We take our role in ensuring the safety and quality of our products seriously, Grimoway Farms President and CEO Jeff Huckabee wrote in a statement. The health of our customers and the integrity of our products are the highest priorities, and we are conducting a thorough review of our growing, harvest, and processing practices. Our food safety team is working with our suppliers and health authorities. Grimoway has contacted customers who received the recall product to notify product distributors. They also noted that no recall carrots have tested positive for E. coli. Customers are advised to dispose of organic whole carrots that were purchased from August 14 to October 23rd and organic baby carrots with a best if used by date between September 11 and November 12th. A full list of associated brands is available, although it's likely no infected carrots remain in store. Terra Nova Farms General Manager Don Cameron told AgriPulse they are not involved with the incident. Water Board taps the brakes on COWIA probation. The State Water Board has canceled a January hearing to consider placing the COWIA sub-basin on SGMA probation. The board found revisions to the sub-basin's plan last month have made substantial progress in addressing deficiencies identified by the Department of Water Resources. While staff are optimistic, they caution more work is needed before the board hands the sub-basin back to DWR. The sub-basin would be the first to exit state intervention. Last month, Aaron Fukuda, interim general manager of the Mid-COWIA sub-basin, shared hope for such an outcome. Asked at the Water Education Foundation's annual summit what he expects to be the next big headline in water, Fukuda predicted the sub-basin would avoid probation. He explained how groundwater levels go down in drought but then stabilize. Last year, the sub-basin was able to recharge a record amount of floodwater into the aquifer. Now, keep in mind, the Water Board canceled the hearing to buy more time for a thorough review of amendments. If staff discover more issues, however, the board could schedule a new hearing. Feds to finalize CVP plan before Trump steps in. The Bureau of Reclamation on Friday released a draft environmental impact report by the Central Valley Project. The plan, combined with new biological opinions for endangered fish species, would govern how the dams and canals will deliver water to farms and cities. It reflects an agreement between the Biden and Newsom administrations that counters a Trump-era plan and leans toward endorsing voluntary agreements with irrigation district overflows and habitat restoration. Environmental groups have claimed the Biden strategy is no different from that of Trump. Water interests, on the other hand, have argued the Trump plan was apolitical, developed by longtime agency bureaucrats seeking meaningful upgrades. Reclamation plans to finalize the operations plan by the end of the year. The takeaway? Well, the plan could bring the state one step closer to an adaptive management approach that monitors fish activity in real time and sends pulse flows as needed, conserving more water within the reservoirs. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Trump names more cabinet members, but as yet, no ag secretary. Donald Trump's cabinet picks are coming fast and furious, but the ag community is still waiting for the president-elect to pick someone to lead USDA. Some people are exiting the unofficial race. Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, whose name has come up along with more than a dozen others, issued a statement saying, quote, "It's an honor to be mentioned as a potential nominee, but my plans are to remain in the Senate and continue to deliver for the people of Mississippi." While we're at it, Jimmy Emmons, a regenerative farmer and rancher from Oklahoma, told Oklahoma Farm Report's Ron Hayes that he had been in talks with the Trump team about the USDA job. Emmons is the Senior Vice President for Climate Smart Programs for the Farm Journal Foundation's Trust in Food Initiative Foundation. Trust in Food won a $40 million partnership for Climate Smart Commodities grant in 2022. The latest nominee, well, Trump has announced Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy, as his pick for Energy Secretary on Saturday. A climate skeptic, Wright is an innovator in the field of fracking, in which natural gas is extracted from rock formations. He's also slated to serve on the National Energy Council, which North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has been asked to chair, along with his position as Interior Secretary. Congress heads toward another short-term funding bill. Lawmakers continue their lame duck session this week, but it looks like they're going to punt their major funding decisions into early next year. House Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox News yesterday that lawmakers are running out of time to finish their fiscal 25 funding legislation before the end of the year. Keep in mind, the CR that has been funding the government since the fiscal year started October 1st expires on December 20th. Leaders of the Senate and House Ag committees continue to discuss a package of disaster aid as well as possible assistance for market-related losses. The top Republican on the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman of Arkansas, said there should be more clarity on those issues this week. "It is at the top of the list of things we need to do," he said. Now, do take note, Deputy Agriculture Secretary Xochitl Torres-Small scheduled to testify before the Senate Appropriations Committee at a hearing Wednesday on disaster aid. USDA has not released an estimate of agriculture disaster losses for the past 2 years, but the administrator of the Farm Service Agency, Zach Ducheneau, told AgriPulse on Friday that the number is likely to exceed $14 billion. He had earlier said the estimate was $14 billion. For more on this week's D.C. agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com. Here's today's final word. The whole community banded together. That National Pork Producers Council CEO Brian Humphreys describing how national trade groups joined forces with local farm bureaus to defeat Measure J in Sonoma County, which would have banned certain livestock operations. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, November 18th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Talley.